And we'll start with O Canada. Standing for a moment of silent meditation. Thank you. Attendance, Madam Clerk.
We have all in attendance, Your Worship.
Thank you. And approval of the agenda. I'm looking for a mover and seconder for approval of the agenda. Councillor Maiden and Councillor Ferguson, all those in favor? Thank you. And disclosure of pecuniary interest or general nature thereof, you can make that statement at this time or when the item arises on the agenda, if that pertains to you. You have the approval of the minutes. These are the minutes dated February 18th, found on pages 4 to 8. Mover and seconder for that, Deputy Mayor Minnelli. Councillor Dalgety, all those in favor? Thank you. And that brings us to our first deputation of the evening. I'd like to welcome Inspector Karuna Padiachi to join us. Inspector Padiachi is the interim detachment commander with the Lanark County Detachment of the OPP. So welcome. Thank you for being with us this evening.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that's right. If you can hit the button on the bottom of there, that's... we're recording, and that's how we do our recording, and it helps for everyone to be able to hear.
Good evening, Your Worship. Members of Council, thank you for inviting me this evening. I'll feel free to ask me any questions as I go along, and I'm just going to go over a few things that we've been doing in Lanark County. Some of you may be aware, I am the interim detachment commander, and I started in Lanark County detachment in September of last year, so it's just going on 7 months. First thing I want to speak about is as some of you may be aware, we have a mental health program within Lanark County. We've recently rebranded it and called it the Mobile Crisis Response Team. That comprises of a dedicated officer, police officer, as well as a mental health nurse from Lanark County Mental Health. What these members do is they are out on patrol and they respond to any mental health calls for service within the county. We did a presentation at Queen's Park last Monday, I believe. That was sponsored by MPP Steve Clark, and we for the rural fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. They had a conference, and they requested we present at Queen's Park. and I'll just share some of the statistics from that from the program. So, Inspector Needham was successful in obtaining a grant in 2018. It was a three-year grant. And Smit Falls obtained a civil remedies grant in middle of 2018 as well. So the grant is coming to an end of this month. What that means for Lanark County OPP is we are going to be operating at a reduced capacity. We still will be running the program, but obviously with a diminished funding, it's going to be at a reduced capacity. I'll quote some statistics for you just with respect to the mental health calls and the need for this program. So a mental health call is whenever a person in crisis is suffering any form of crisis, police are called and respond to the call. And subsequently, if there are grounds for apprehension, police will then apprehend the individual and transport them to the closest hospital to be assessed by a physician. In 2017, Lanark County OPP responded to 286 calls for service. In 2018, we saw an increase to 390 calls for service. And in 2019, those calls rose to 515 calls for service. That equates to an 80% increase in calls for service since 2017. What we looked at was the apprehension rate, the diversion rate, where we don't necessarily take people to hospitals, and we're able to divert them to an appropriate resource. And we also looked at the time that the officers spent within the emergency rooms waiting for these individuals to be assessed. In 2017, of the 286 calls that we attended, 23% of the individuals were apprehended and transported to a hospital. In 2019, with the assistance of the MCRT, or Mobile Crisis Response Team nurse, we lowered that apprehension rate to 8%. And that's 8% of the 515 calls. We also looked at the diversion rates, as I alluded to earlier. So pre-mobile crisis response teams, in 2017, we observed a 25% diversion rate. So 25% of the individuals we encountered, we were able to divert them to the appropriate resource. So that means they were not taken to an emergency room. They were provided the means to an appropriate support agency. In 2019, we decreased that by 17% because of the mental health nurse. So that 17%, what that means is it equates to 82 individuals that we did not have to take to a hospital to be assessed by a physician. And if you looked at, we also looked at the time that each visit to an emergency room, what the duration was for a police officer, it was about 106 minutes per visit, which equates to about 290 hours for two officers sitting in a hotel room. And I'm sure most of you have driven by a hospital and seen a cruiser parked outside. I'm not saying it's all the time, but a lot of the time, those officers are sitting and waiting for a physician to assess a person in crisis. So when we look at the time that we're saving by not taking these individuals to a hospital, by ensuring they are provided the best service and the appropriate resources, it's certainly a benefit. And I just wanted to state that this program is doing a fantastic job within Lanark County. What I have done is just in the last week, I've increased the number of officers by one. So I will now have two dedicated officers in this program. And I'm waiting to see what's going to happen with, hopefully, I've been working with Lanark County Mental Health, and we're trying to figure out how we can work at this reduced capacity that we're going to be forced to work in end of this month. So that's with respect to the mobile crisis response team. The second initiative I'd like to address is as of January 6th, 2020, we also were able to create a victim advocate position within Lanark County. This was, again, Inspector Needham had applied for and was successful in obtaining a grant from the provincial government. And we were fortunate enough to have that grant afforded, finalized and given to us in December of 2018, with the first year closing in March of 2020. So in January of this year, we hired a victim advocate. That victim advocate deals specifically with victims of sexual assault, domestic violence, and human trafficking. So what that means is any instance that my officers attend where there is a victim or are victims of those three types of incidents, we are now having someone speak to the victim. And this is aside from victim services and the Victim Witness Assistance Program. What the Victim Advocate Program does, it allows the victim to have one point of contact throughout the legal process. Inspector Needham, along with Lanark County Mental Health, Lanark County Interval House, had conducted a survivor engagement forum in September of last year. And one of the feedback we got was that victims felt they were not being provided enough support throughout the process. So we're trying to address that by providing them the support. The program is fairly new, as it just started in January. But to date, I believe we've had about close to 10 referrals. And this victim advocate, who only works 24 hours a week, because that's all we have for the funding, is certainly getting quite busy. And I assume is going to become quite busier as we move along. One of the other things that I would like to discuss is the snowmobile patrols across the county. In early February of this year, we started dedicated snowmobile patrols across the county. And I will just speak to the numbers again. During the month of 2020, the month of February 2020, Lanark County OPP, along with our regional SAVE unit, we patrolled the trails across Lanark County, totaling 171 officer hours. Of that 171 officer hours, 60% of that time during the month of February was conducted in Mississippi Mills on the OVRT. So given that each patrol is two officers when we send our officers out, that's 51 hours of dedicated patrol on the OVRT. During our patrol, we received 8 traffic complaints regarding speeding snow machines on the OVRT. We also received 1 noise complaint, with the complaint being of persons intentionally revving their engines near residences. We also conducted 30 rides on the trails in February of 2020. We issued approximately 32 provincial offense notices and there were 20 warnings provided under the provincial acts, and we also issued 1 3-day warning for an operator registering a warrant on the roadside breath test. And as well, we've conducted multiple radar enforcement, and I know my officers have been out, as I've said, at least in February and continuing into March. Most of the times of the weekends have been a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and occasionally when we have the resources, we're also doing in the week as well. So, is there any questions in?
The CAO does have a question if you wanted to jump in,
I was just Kelly. Wondering those hours that you were adding up, do they include the SAVE program as well for the snowmobile patrols, or is that strictly your officers?
That includes the SAVE unit as well.
Okay.
What I can tell you is that SAVE unit is regional. I don't have the exact breakdown, but I do know that I've assigned two officers pretty much 4 days a week, so I would assume majority of these numbers would be coming from Lanark County members.
Lanark County members. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Were there any other questions just at this point? Yeah. Councillor Holmes?
So thank you so much. It was really interesting to hear your report. I'm really interested in your mental health crisis team, and I congratulate you on starting that. Having been a nurse all my life and worked in mental health for 30 years, you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Feel free to continue on. I don't know if we interrupted you midway there, but...
No, the last thing I want to address, and it's... the second last thing I want to address, which is a bit of a concern to me, is just the impaireds, and I think I've spoken to all the PSBs before. It is definitely an issue that I'm concerned about. Our numbers don't seem to be coming down. We're out there doing regular rides, regular enforcements, and I think we need to perhaps work with the communities to maybe start an educational campaign again. With the increase in social media, word gets out really fast when we set up our ride spot checks. It's not acceptable. One impaired driver in Lanark County, to me, is not acceptable. And basically, that's it. I will speak about the 911 calls as well. In 2020, in January of this year, the OPP initiated a new program where we no longer dispatch our officers to 911 calls where we cannot identify a location. We were doing that before. And a typical call would be a 911 call within a 3-mile radius with no phone, no voice contact, and no exact location. So that has allowed us to, that has freed us up from responding to calls where we don't know whether there's a victim, if it's a system malfunction, and it allows us to divert those members who would unnecessarily be tied up to provide more community response and respond to more emergent situations.
Okay.
And that's basically it, unless anyone has any questions.
Was there any other comments or questions? Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Thank you. It was a good report. The numbers seem quite low on the ORVT trail for speeding and everything compared to the hours that you put in. Is that?
I think the, like I said, we've put in a lot of hours across the county. The reports, I get reports back from my operators. I've requested reports from them after each patrol. And I just got one on Sunday advising that they had actually spoken to, they had spoken to a council, I believe. I don't have that. But they had not and had spoken to residents along the trailway, and they had not seen or received any complaints from those residents.
Other questions or comments for Inspector Pagliacci? Okay, seeing not, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate your efforts and appreciate your time coming to speak with us this evening as well.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So I'm looking for a mover and seconder for the recommendation here is that we're receiving the deputation by Inspector Karuna Padiachi for information. So mover and seconder for that. Councillor Holmes and Councillor Delgady. All those in favor? Thank you. And that brings us to our next deputation. Councillor Ferguson, do you want to stay there or do you want to sit in the hot seat?
No, I can talk here.
You're going to sit there? All right. If you put your microphone on, that'd be better, but there we are. So Councillor Ferguson is the chair of our Community Policing Advisory Committee. Typically, the Advisory Committee or Police Service Board, we don't have a Police Service Board, and I think Councillor Ferguson will speak to that, but there's an annual report is provided. So in lieu of an annual report, because there are quite a lot of changes happening right now, we elected to have Inspector Padiachi come and speak to us directly, and Councillor Ferguson, as the chair of our CPAC, is going to provide some updates to the Police Services Act that have been a long time coming, but I will pass that along to yourself, Councillor.
Thank you very much. Good evening. And we now have heard from the OPP, from the operational side of it, excuse me, and this is more specific to the governance side of it, which is certainly changing, and we will look forward to changes that's taken 30 years to come, but it's on the board. But the government started the process back in 1990 to review, which is in force today, the Police Services Act, and that establishes the framework for our police services across the board. And since the process started, obviously there's been a change of government, so that slowed the process down. And it is now back in the rails, underway again. And in February of 19, the government repealed the changes that were made to the previous act. Now, the Ford government passed Bill 68, which is now called Comprehensive Ontario Police Services Act 2019. And this received assent on March the 26th, 2019. The Act hasn't been proclaimed, but until such time as it is, of course, the existing PSA, the Police Services Act, is still in force. Now, the amendments to the Police Services Act added a new community and safety well-being plan to address situations throughout the province, and it deals more so with coordinated groups of people whereby they're collectively meeting and coming up with ways and means of addressing a more universal approach to issues within the community. And I have one particular one, which is a community safety well-being plan from Halton, very well written, and certainly we in Lanark County are very well served and have been in the crust of it with Stephanie Gray. She certainly has put a lot of effort into it, and it has been accepted almost universally as to how and it was approached and the act and what was contained in it, and certainly commending her for the job that has been done with it, which we will be picking up on as well. And as we move forward into it, there's a number of new provisions, and it also, the new act supports the government's commitment in three very specific areas, and that's to strengthen public confidence in policing and maintain key independent policing oversight functions, demonstrate respect for frontline policing personnel by building the right supports and fair process to enable police to effectively perform their duties and ensure public safety, and deliver quality and efficient policing while also realizing better value for money. So there is new processes coming through which will identify that, but that's the gist of it anyway. And the existing duties under the objectives under the existing Police Services Act include determining police objectives, priorities, and establishing local policies in conjunction with the detachment commander, which we work our way through. And the CSA, now the new one, of course, empowers police service boards to determine local objectives, priorities, and policies. However, the objectives and priorities must not be inconsistent with the strategic plan that is prepared by the Solicitor General for the OPP. In addition, the direction of the Solicitor General has been that the Police Service Board objectives and priorities must not relate to specific investigations, and that's totally understandable, conducted of specific operations, must not require a member of the OPP to provide any policies not required as a component of adequate and effective policing, and support government commitment to strengthen public confidence in policing, as I've read earlier, demonstrate respect for frontline policing, and deliver best service. The province is currently engaging stakeholders to consult on the development of new regulations of the Act, and that's pretty extensive in the fact that the previous one and the existing PSA contained about 13 regulations to address and review. The new one contains anywhere between 50 and 70. So you can appreciate the time that it's going to involve and the time it has taken to date to do that. Generally, the new regulations are being developed in three phases. Spring of 2020, the fall of 2020, and the spring of 21, with expected process time about another year and a half. So this is not a quick process, and as we all are aware, government doesn't work all that fast at times anyway, so we're in that time frame. But it does address and will address special constable frameworks, First Nations policing, which have not traditionally been involved in this manner, delivery of policing, a new way of billing, training, equipment, weapons, and the most significant to we, I think, in Mississippi Mills and Lanark County, is the composition of the existing police service boards and the boundaries. It takes on a whole different framework, and that traditionally now in Lanark County, the good inspector, who is very, very well served by us, and we in turn served by him very well, attends the meetings. So there's 8 meetings to attend, and you can expect the administration and appreciate the administration that goes into that. So with the amalgamation of all of the boards into one board, it reduces the administration and obviously time away from operations. That in itself may have some bearing on how we operate, and it will, because if you can picture now, Lanark County will be one board as opposed to 8 individual boards, but we do not know the makeup of that yet, and that's still to be decided. Obviously, we're hoping that we can have at least one board within Lanark County with representation within each municipality. But again, that is still to be determined, and it's still not determined whether, in fact, there may be, and this is a may, be opportunities for 2 boards within one detachment. And that's still question mark, whereby we could conceivably be divided north and south in Lanark County, where you would have 2 very specific boards, but still serve within the detachment for Lanark County. So there is a lot of work to do yet. And we in Mississippi Mills, as stated, we are a CPAC, which is a Community Policing Advisory Committee, different somewhat than a police service board. But again, we have been treated very, very well with the OPP. We've been treated like we are a police service board. At the time, and this goes back, I guess within 10-year time frame, that the decision was made that we would go with the CPAC. It was did save us monies. We do not have some votes that you would have if you were a full board member. But by the same token, we have received the same courtesies from the OPP. We've received the same information from the OPP. We've received the same stats from the OPP. So we have not been disappointed with that. But obviously now we will change, and if it had not been a new act, we would have been probably looking to change it anyway and go to a full service board. We're represented in CPAC by the mayor, who is ex officio, Councillor Dalgety, Grant Chaplin, Neil McLeod, who is with us tonight, and Tess Powder. We do meet obviously regularly, and in addition to that, we also have membership in the Ontario Association of Police Service Boards at an annual conference. We also have a Zone 2, which takes in Eastern Ontario, so we do meet with that. And then we also have a Lanark County Board, as I referenced. So there are a significant number of meetings. Hopefully will be reduced if we do go to a single detachment or single board per detachment. However, again, that's working our way through time. We did recently attend a round table in Brockville last week, under the sponsorship of the Solicitor General, and not specific to OPP, but it was attended by Mayor Lowry, Councillor Dalgety, and myself. And again, the discussions there, they got a bit heated because everyone does not treat, I guess, police service boards the same. They do not necessarily all understand, and maybe for good reason, the same issues that are addressed. There was some significant discussion even to how we as CPACs are addressed within the police community, but we are very, very pleased with what we have. But some of them didn't even, were not aware what they were. So that's no slight, but it's just that some of them maybe do not take it quite as serious as we do. But some of the discussion there was, it was specific to engagement overview, how we're going to address the new regulations, OPP Detachment Board Member Governance, which is going to be another level, principles of the OPP framework, and matters for regulations, or it's OPP Detachment Boards, the transition, and OPP billing, which comes up on a regular basis when you're talking contract, because as you're well aware, contract policing is not cheap. I think we're very well served with the OPP as opposed to either a municipal force or a larger city force. We have looked at, did look at contract time within the city of Ottawa. They were not interested in providing service to us and probably would have been more expensive. But by the same token, we did look, and that's going back a ways. So there were a number of issues that were addressed. And again, foremost was the OPP detachment boards, and this is the phase two of it, which is probably going to be fall, and OPP council, and then OPP billing, as I referred to. So there's a lot of information, I think, as you can appreciate, going forward. And these consultations provide for some interesting discussion at times, and how other counties, how other municipalities are set up in reference to how they perceive it going to happen. But there was two takeaways really from Brockville. One of them, the change is coming, we know that. And the second one being that now is the time to initiate and meet, I think, with our local existing boards, and that's within Lanark County, and be proactive to change, because if we don't change, they're going to tell us how to change. So I think there is enough willingness within Lanark County boards to sit down, address, and discuss how we want to see, or we would like to see, or prefer to see, the makeup of the new police service board moving forward, which in all probability will be a Lanark County OPP board to serve Lanark County only. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Councillor Ferguson. Is there any questions to the presentation we just received? It's a lot of information. Oh, we're okay. Right, thank you very much for that, Councillor. We may have some questions once everyone's had some time to digest it all, because there's a lot of pieces there. I'm looking for a mover and seconder to receive the deputation by Councillor Ferguson. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Holmes, all those in favour? Thank you. And deputation number three, I'd like to welcome Neil Caldwell to come forward. He's from JP2G and will be going over the Elmont downtown revitalization designs that we have in the agenda with us. So welcome.
Thank you, Your Worship, members of council, staff, and members of public. I have Perry Raglan here with me as well. Perry's going to be clicking and was the senior designer on the project. So what you'll see here is quite similar to what we presented at the two public meetings we had. We didn't want to change things up too much in terms of consistency. You will notice a few slides that are slightly different based on the feedback we received and the changes that were made based on that. So just stepping back a little bit, this project emanates from a couple of previous reports that were completed. There was a master plan update done by GL Richards in 2018 that identified deficiencies in the underground services that need to be addressed. And obviously, once you start looking at the underground services and replacing those, then you're into the surface works as well. Prior to that report, Parsons had done an infrastructural renewal report that identified proposed improvements to the downtown area in terms of surface features and improvements. So part of the Parsons report included, it's not that easy to see, but basically broke the project down into phases that could be manageable from a budget standpoint. And basically phase 1A is Mill Street, Elmont up to Little Bridge, phase 1B up to Bridge, phase 2, which is Little Bridge, and then phase 3 is Bray and High Street and the parking lot in that area in the back. So part of the project is establishing and reestablishing some of the crossovers, and we also looked at the parking. The Parsons report had identified the potential for 96 parking spots in the area. They did that based on what they knew at the time in terms of property boundaries and that, and there was some angle parking that was proposed. We had a legal survey done of the street and the area to confirm where the actual lot lines exist. And based on that, the angle parking wasn't feasible, there just wasn't enough space for it. So essentially the existing to new just optimizes the parking within the area. You gain a few spots, but not the 96 that was proposed or potentially available from that original study. And it just, as you get more accurate information, your numbers get better and you're able to define what you can do and what you can't do in terms of space. We're also looking at three spots for pedestrian crossings, and the crossings that would go in would be similar to that, what's shown on the picture. Solar-fed type arrangements as you have already in town here. So again, sorry, I apologize to the crowd. You can't really see that all that well, but that gives you a sense of kind of the limits of the work down on the...
So I'm just going to interrupt you just for a moment. I'm not sure who has total control over it. Is it possible to blow that up a little bit? So it's... I'm not sure if it's something we can do with depending on the file, but...
Which part are you...
Just as we're discussing any of these bits, just so... both council and the public can have a better sense. Yeah, thank you. Pardon me for interrupting.
Yeah, no problem. So in the bottom end here, one of the issues that came up was a concern with access to Cody's garage, and that was addressed by removing the proposed plantings that were in that area and opening up that access. Also in this end of Mill Street, we had originally proposed a W cross section. So the lanes, a curb, parking, and then another barrier curb. In order to make the grading work a little better, we removed that curb in between the two edges of road and parking stalls. And it essentially slopes from one side to the other just to fit in better. Thinking. Or you've got control, or we can slide. So just before you leave that slide, sorry. So you can see where the hatching is on the roads or the proposed road crossings. So there's a crossing up across Elmont Street, yeah, right in there as well, where there's an existing one run right up there. So those would be maintained, and that's just a straight crossing there. Okay. As we move up towards Little Bridge Street, we've maintained the concrete sidewalk across Little Bridge, and the parking and the roads section for the portion of Mill Street from Little Bridge up to Bridge Street is a W section with parking on the sides. The road width along there is 2.5 meter wide parking stalls with 3.25 lanes. Again, pretty much maintaining what was there before. That's probably good there. Yeah.
Sure. Just
one thing on Little Bridge Street, the parking on the, when you're going towards the town hall from the main street, on the left-hand side, Are you dropping the sidewalk and moving the retaining wall towards the, so there's, like the road's quite high to the sidewalk.
That's
there,
right.
So are you dropping the sidewalk and moving a retaining wall over and having the sidewalk at a lower level?
As of right now, that sidewalk is staying at the level, so essentially those parking stalls would be hard to get out of on the passenger side, the ones that are proposed on that section.
Okay, because that's a bit of a fix there, if you could, extra money, but it's a fix, right?
Yeah, you'd have to add another retaining wall.
You'd move the, drop the sidewalk and move the retaining wall. Right now, the sidewalk is the retaining wall. You'd
correct.
Drop the sidewalk and put the retaining wall on the other side of the sidewalk, but...
Yeah. So, as mentioned, so Little Bridge has changed significantly from the public presentation in terms of the trestle staying where it is. It's proposed to be one way from Bridge Street through and with parking on the right-hand side, and then a two-way towards the bakery and the commercial building section in there.
Councillor Holmes.
The parking spots in front of the bakery, they're remaining?
We don't have them shown on there. It's shown as a wider concrete
so
area.
So you've taken them out?
I don't know that they actually, were they lined in there before?
I'm going to just go to the director.
Through the chair. The curb through there, as you can see from the shading, is going to be depressed. So right now, there are two lined parking spaces, if I recall correctly. But when people park there, it essentially drops the road to a one-directional road, like one lane of traffic. So certainly there won't be any parking restrictions put there, so people can do the same as what they're doing today. And I know that was one of the concerns from the Baker Bob's facility, that they want to make sure that that can still happen. It can happen unless council doesn't want it to happen. It's not staff's intention to put no parking there, but in so doing, again, it would limit the lane of travel to one. So it will be a similar situation, but we're not going to specifically line spaces in that section.
Okay. Is there any other questions, or can we continue? Councillor Girard.
Thank you. I guess my first question would be, we have more parking spaces, though when I'm looking at the pictures, we have extended all of our sidewalks at all of our intersections. So is it the reason we have more sidewalk or more parking spaces because the parking spaces are now smaller, so therefore they're for smaller vehicles?
No, they're just standardized.
So because some places there are, the parking stalls were a lot longer than normal, and we went through and we standardized the size right across the board, so that it actually it evens itself out and actually ends up adding a few more.
So what is a standardized parking spot?
I could not tell you that number.
6.7 to 6.9 meters, okay. Which it's probably
length-wise,
about
because
22
of parallel
or 23
parking.
Feet. About 22 feet to a little under 23 feet.
Okay. So you want to continue? Thank you.
So this is a new slide. So this essentially shows what we would be doing or what was proposed. This is essentially leaving the sidewalk where it is, but redoing the top of it, chipping off the top of the sidewalk, putting a new guide rail on, and then patching up the large retaining wall on the opposite side of the road. In towards Bray and in behind through the through High and through the parking lot, this is similar to what we had proposed before, an island in the middle of the parking lot with some greenery and a walkway through there, and reconstruction of Bray Street to provide new services and new paving, sidewalks.
Councillor Jordan.
Okay, so my question with regard to this parking, this walkway that you're including presently, and as of today, it's probably melting, all of the snow that's removed from those parking spaces has been stored temporarily on both ends of that parking area. I guess my concern would be that the snow, how many places are we going to be actually losing due to the extra sidewalks?
I'm going to go to the director for that.
Through the chair, when this is constructed, obviously it will require a snow removal whenever the sidewalk is plowed, similar to all the other downtown sidewalks. So we would just be providing that operational improvement so that that snow would be removed and no spaces would be lost.
Thank you, Director. Okay. Is there a further question?
Actually, I have three for regards to this parking. My next one, based on the picture, half of that area between the two parking spaces is a sidewalk and the other half is grass or trees or shrubs or whatever. Due to the fact that most people go the least resistance, are we expecting people to actually cross over the flower beds to get access to the sidewalk, or are we going to assume that they're still going to be walking on the street?
Well, I think that's a common problem with any kind of landscaping or streetscaping you put in place. There can be walkways put across in specific locations if that's preferred.
Okay, and I guess my last question would be directed to the Director of Public Works. We have just been informed, or we were made aware of the fact that Farm Street is going to require, or is, the infrastructure is 96 years old and it's on the program as to, it has to be upgraded. I'm questioning why we're stopping the construction on Bray Street halfway to Farm Street, why it's not actually connecting all the way to Farm Street. Since we're tearing it up, why are we not going to complete it? And then when and or if Farm Street gets repaired, it will not have to be included in construction again.
Through the chair, the Parsons report that was done by previous council limited the extent of the works to the downtown core area. The portion of Bray Street beyond this going to Farm Street was not included, nor was Farm Street, as they weren't considered part of the downtown core. Certainly, whenever we do do Farm Street, we would probably do Farm Street and that other portion of Bray Street all at the same time in the future, so that it would be complete. But the limit of the work associated with the downtown core was specifically truncated by the previous council at that location.
Did you have any further questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Back to you, Mr. Crowell.
Thank you. So again, it's not that visual, but this is similar to the boards that we had at the public meetings. Essentially, we were looking for spots where there was enough width to provide for some trees and planting beds, as well as areas to reinstate the furniture that's already been purchased and in place. So that's similar to what we've shown before, as well as through the parking lot and the access along with the walkways. So with respect to the trees, currently in the budget are the what they call silva cells or equivalent, which is essentially a big box under the ground that can hold soil so mm-hmm. that the trees have a chance to live versus just trying to plant them in the pavement and them not having much of a chance at all. And then we have an entrance feature that was one of the mandates as well. This is what was proposed by our landscape architect. It's essentially like a waterfall effect with Almont written on it. It can say whatever council chooses, or it can be slightly different, but that's something to consider. Then we've got the cost breakdowns for each of the phases, just to give you a sense of what kind of money you're looking at for the project. In terms of status, we are applying for the Ministry of Environment approvals for the underground sewer works, and confirming with GAS some of their issues, and we'll be shelf ready. And then it's a matter of deciding timing, budget, and phasing from there. So.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other questions around the table? Councillor Maiden.
Through the chair, I'm just wondering, is this the 90% costing? Because it's dropped like quite dramatically from, I think, 23 million the previous council to,
well, the project 10 last I saw. Has scoped back significantly from the original.
But last time we looked at it, I think it was like 10. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, okay, what's different? Is this really accurate, or is it the other one was wrong? Or because it hasn't changed too much that I've seen.
Director?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Obviously, the $22 million also included Bridge Street and those lands towards the library, so it was a much more grandiose plan. It also included full unit pavers across roadways and a lot of surface work that was deleted by the previous council when we went into detailed design. Certainly, when we were at 60% costing, there was still quite a bit of unknown. So I certainly didn't want to inform council. I think I pulled out the $10 million number from having quite a bit of contingency there in case we came across through our borehole examinations or whatnot, any type of contaminations that would require remedial work, or whether we discovered other unknowns through the process that would cause the price to inflate. Now we are down to the 99% drawings. There's only a few minor tweaks now to be made to them to have them ready for construction. And the costing that's shown there is based on current dollar amounts that reflect the work that is going to be undertaken based on the design that council has chosen to proceed with, as was displayed to you by JP2G this evening. So that's what we're looking at with regard to pricing. Yes, it is way down, but that we're reusing the street lights, for instance, and all the unit pavers now are all gone. We didn't put any irrigation system in for any of the plant beds or trees or anything like that. So we've brought it down as directed by council to a more manageable level, and so that we can afford to do this in the near future.
Okay.
Just to follow up, and this is more of a request, I guess, not for right now, but I'm wondering if we could get a breakdown of these numbers as that reflect water and sewer and then other, just so that the water and sewer users can see how it's going to impact their water bills and so forth, but down the road.
Sure, we can do that. Councillor Ferguson?
Yes, thank you. Assuming it's shovel ready and all the funding's in place, what time frame are we looking at for downtime for businesses?
Depending on the phasing that is selected by council to proceed with, the way it's envisioned now is a phase 1A and a 1B, which would encompass Mill Street. That could be all taken care of in the first year, so that you'd start with 1A, which is the piece running from Almont down to Little Bridge, get that done, because that's where the undergrounds are located. The piece, then 1B is a fairly simple procedure because it has no undergrounds. It's all the buildings are all serviced from the rear. So between Little Bridge and Bridge Street, all those buildings are serviced from rear, in the rear, so you're really dealing with the road reconstruction there. So they would move from Almont Street southward, southeastward, I guess, chasing the sewer and replacing it as they go and reinstating behind themselves. Similar to what other municipalities have done in the recent past, Armprior, for instance, when they did their main strip, they chased along. You have one crew digging in front, one crew digging filling in behind, so that businesses are not too impacted for too long. Obviously, the big thing is to keep the sidewalks open while you're doing the underground, so that people are still able to access the front of stores, and that has been built into the specifications, so that proper safety fencing will be put in, and people will be able to park when 1A is under construction, still on 1B and on High Street, in the High Street parking lot, and still make their way to those shops. So obviously the staging that we do, we'll try to maximize access to the businesses as long as possible.
Okay. Councillor Dalgety.
Through the chair to the director. At what point were the bore samples taken? Was it in the first 60%? And do we have any concerns of contamination based on those samples?
Through the chair, our geotechnical specialist went in and did boreholes. I believe it was every 10 meters all the way down Mill Street, did all along Bridge Street as well, and the other streets as well. They didn't find anything. So they bored right in front of areas of concern, such as the former Ultramar gas station in the downtown core, and did not have any hits whatsoever on petrocarbons or anything of that nature. We can't rule out unequivocally that we won't find something when we're digging up the sewers, but based on the extensive boreholes that they undertook, it certainly is encouraging that we're not expecting to find a great deal.
Okay. Councillor Girard.
Thank you. Through the chair to the Director of Public Works. I'm looking at Mill Street Upper, or Section B, the second part. What percentage of the infrastructure is actually under the ground there? I'm aware that there's the water runs behind the buildings, not on the street side. So is that going to be included, or what? I'm not sure why the cost is so high if all of it's going to be doing is the paving of the street.
Through the chair, from, as I mentioned before, from Little Bridge to Bridge, the units are serviced from the rear of the properties, and there is no water main or sanitary sewer, or storm sewer for that matter, located in the piece from Bridge to Little Bridge. There will be a hydrant that's extended with a hydrant lead from the water main that terminates just at the intersection of Little Bridge and Mill Street, just a little bit southeastward, to provide the necessary coverage for fire distances from the frontages of buildings. But other than that, we're going to be dealing with the full removal of the roadway and the sidewalks and the asphalt, and full reconstruction, including the planting beds and the new infrastructure, new curbs, new sidewalks through there. That's where the cost lies.
Sorry, thank you for that answer. My question was actually with regards to the water and sewer that's under the ground in Section B. Due to the fact that there was just a water break and they actually had to dig behind the Bank of Montreal, I'm thinking that the water and the sewer is actually not on under the ground in Section B.
Through the chair. So if I just want to make sure I understand the question. Are you referring to this section through here?
Yes.
Okay. So the water main is not in the street through this section here. The water main comes and goes through with the sanitary sewer along Little Bridge and Mill through this way, and also comes down here. It is also serviced through the rear of the properties at this location. Okay.
So my question was with regards to if we look at the pricing, the parking area and the section B, or the second section of Mill Street that's going to be under construction, how much of that cost is actually, or is there going to be any cost with regards to the infrastructure if there's no actual water under that part of the road?
So it really depends on where you define your phase 1A, phase 1B. So as we were talking about, so we've extended a fire hydrant up for partway. The sewers also go up partway, the sanitary sewer. So there is some sewer work in there. It's not zero. And also you have all the there's a fair bit of landscaping at the corner and pieces of the curbs, sidewalks, etc. Our numbers through there would, just give me 1 second, please. Which one is that? That's the 59. So in that section, we have about 150,000 worth of landscape items, about 350 worth of road, 150 worth of underground, those kind of ranges, and then general items for rock removal, et cetera.
Does that answer your question, Councillor?
Not really. I guess my question is this not also, or I guess based on similar to what Councillor Maiden had brought up, with regards to the cost and the value, my understanding is that the infrastructure that is serving our main street is 96 years old. So if we're going to be fixing that, I would like that to be prioritized over making it pretty. I think we need to have it working and before we deal with having it pretty. And I guess my concern is that based on the way the pricing is done, it's not actually in my how I'm seeing the numbers, I'm not seeing that the water is actually being addressed in this.
Any other further questions or comments? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. Through the chair to the Director of Public Works again. I'm assuming that there's going to be public consultation again on this phase. Certainly I've heard from at least two people that they are not in favor of making Little Bridge Street one way. I'm wondering if there's been any traffic studies done to determine what shutting that street down one way is going to do to the rest, mm-hmm. to the main town, the core, because a lot of people do use that. And certainly, I think there is a desire by a lot of residents to maintain Little Bridge as it is, particularly since we have had a parking study done and we had some suggestions on how we could put more parking up at the end where the train tracks close to the library and whatnot. I'm not quite sure now where we had said, but so I'm wondering if there is going to be public consultation around this.
Okay. Just one comment before I pass it to the director. If I am recalling correctly, it was the decision of this council to do the maneuvering of traffic and deciding on parking on Little Bridge. So it would be the prerogative of this council if you choose to do otherwise, but it was this council that made that decision in the fall. And as for further consultation, I don't know that there was intention, but I'll pass that to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Certainly, we did have the two public open houses on this project as well and sought direction from Council as to where they wanted to go with the final design. So at this point, the budget for completing the final design has been expended, and we're not going back for another round of public consultation to redo this. We don't have the funds to start redesigning this at this stage. We've gone a distance based on both the public consultation that was had, the feedback that was provided to council. Council made the decision, and we went to final design with that. With regard to Little Bridge specifically, it is not a big leap to change Little Bridge if you want it back two-way, to two-way traffic, but you will lose the parking spaces that you wanted and directed staff to have the consultant put in. It's certainly not a complicated change to make, but it was, like I said, it was council's choice to make us do this design that way.
Councilor Holmes?
So I do understand we did give some approval. My understanding was that we would take another look, though, at this stage again to make sure we were pleased. And since that time, I have heard feedback that people, you know, want Little Bridge Street left the way it is with the trestle. We had a big issue about that. So for two parking spaces, I'd really like to reconsider it in my own thoughts.
Okay. Councillor, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, pardon me, I gave you a demotion there.
That's funny, my information is the other way. Everybody thought it was a no-brainer to put Little Bridge Street a one-way and have parking on it. Anybody I've talked to in the town, so I guess I thought we had decided that that was the way we were going to go with Little Bridge Street when we decided to leave the bridge there. And coming up after the fact, I know it's not much money, but we have to make a decision and stick by it here, or we'll never get this project done ever. Carlton Place will have their main street done twice before we get ours done if we don't stick to a plan.
Councilor Dalgety.
In my opinion, on the same topic, at that time, based on measurements, I thought it would work. And I did my own study, so to speak, by parking my own car there and seeing how much space there was, and it is quite tight. And seeing what I see now with my vehicle there, I would go the opposite direction with this decision.
Other comments for our consultants while we have them here with us? Councillor Maiden?
Just two things. One, to say that, yes, residents have contacted me, and they would kind of like Little Bridge Street kind of left as it is. And particularly with the parking, because people come and go with by Baker Bob's, pick up their coffee in the morning. They're only there like 2 minutes, but then they go. Just wondering, should I be making a motion, a question to the clerk perhaps, to forget the costing of broken down by water, sewer, and then roads, landscaping kind of thing?
When we do the receiving of the information, we can add a direction to staff on that. I think okay. Both the CAO and I had made a note, but we can do that as a direction as well if you'd like at that time.
Thank you.
Okay. Further comments or questions? Councilor Girard.
Thank you. I believe I agree with Councilor Holmes with regards to having a rediscussion. When we sent this for the 90%, I thought that that was going to come back to us and that we were going to be discussing it further, and I'm hoping that there will be more discussion other than just this present discussion.
Other comments or questions? Councillor Ferguson.
I guess we might as well get our licks in at it. I agree with what Councillor Minnelli said. I think we've been around it a lot. We've seen a lot of it. We purposely had the last meeting and come back with a 90% costing, which they've done. It's been reduced, as much as they can possibly reduce it. And I think the one way is the way that should go, and that's the way I would certainly be voting going down the road.
So procedurally, we're trying to figure out what to do as our next steps here. Certainly, we will be receiving the presentation from our consultants. And there is the direction Councillor Maiden has requested regarding costing and defining what is on water and sewer and what is on the tax bill. There is a question, though, as to procedure in terms of having a further discussion about the decision about Little Bridge Street, because it was a decision already. So we're going to just take a quick recess so we can look at exactly what the wording was, because it may require a vote of reconsideration of council to have that further conversation that it looks like council is wishing to have. So give us a couple minutes just to sort out exactly what that would be procedurally. If you can just hang tight, we'll be right back. All right, folks, that was a long 2 minutes, so thank you for your understanding. Oh, I think we're missing a councillor. Councillor Maiden. So thank you for your patience there. I'll have the clerk explain procedurally what we can do this evening, and what we will do this evening is receive the presentation for information and the direction that Councillor Maiden had requested we certainly can do this evening. Reconsidering the Little Bridge isn't something that we can do this evening, and I'll have the clerk explain that in a moment. But it does sound like there's enough interest in conversation that perhaps having a separate meeting as we had back in the fall might be warranted, a special council meeting with staff. Of course, be open to the public again. So I think that may be the right next steps, but I'll have the clerk, before we do any of those next steps, I'll have the clerk just explain why there can't be anything reconsidered this evening.
Okay, so back in at a special meeting on September 26th this past year, council gave direction to staff to have one-way traffic on Little Bridge Street from Bridge Street to Thornburn Mill, and two-way from Mill Street to Thornburn Mill. And then you also directed staff to include 6 parking spots on Little Bridge Street, and that was to be included in the 90% designs. So if council wishes to change that decision, it will require a motion of reconsideration. As per our procedural bylaw, to do a motion of reconsideration, it requires that it be done through a notice of motion, and and that a member on the prevailing side must put forward that motion. So at this stage right now, a notice and motion could come on the March 17th meeting. You guys would consider it at council or committee of the whole, and then it would get forwarded to council at the April 4th meeting.
Okay, so that's procedurally how a change on Little Bridge would have to go to play by our own rules. Okay. Deputy Mayor Minnelli?
Do we need 60% or 3/4 majority to bring it to the table?
You do not need 3/4 majority to bring it to the table. You need 3/4 majority to pass a motion of reconsideration.
Thank you. And it's coming up when?
If a notice of motion gets put forward, it would be brought forward to the March 17th meeting. So 3/4 of a 7-member council is 5, I believe.
You need 5 to pat to change it.
To change, yes.
Thank you.
To consider. Thank you for waiting. I appreciate that. We have had some good discussion and some good questions here. I'm going to look for a mover and second to receive the information from Mr. Caldwell and JP2G on the downtown revitalization, the 90%, and also direct staff to provide the costing comparison as Councillor Maiden had described, so showing what is on the water and sewer side and what is on the tax bill side. And furthermore, that we'd be directing staff to arrange for a special meeting at a date yet to be determined. So mover and seconder for those pieces. Councillor Maiden and Councillor Ferguson, any further discussion? All those in favor? Thank you. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. Wow, that was a lot of deputations for one meeting, eh? Yeah. All right.
We need a new sheriff in town.
What's that?
We need a new sheriff in town. Deputies.
So next on our agenda is the public meeting for Baker's Quarry subdivision. And I will pass this over to our director of planning, Ms. Nikki Dwyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll start with the preamble for the Planning Act. The public meeting tonight is being heard by Council and notice has been given in accordance with the Planning Act. This is a statutory public meeting for the purpose of giving the public the opportunity to make representation in respect to the proposed subdivision agreement. If a person or public body does not make oral submission at the public meeting or make written submission to the municipality of Mississippi Mills before a bylaw is passed, the person or public body is not entitled to appeal the decision of council to the local planning appeals tribunal and may not be added to as a party to the hearing of an appeal before the tribunal unless, in the opinion of the tribunal, there are reasonable grounds to do so. If a person or public body provides an oral submission, the municipality asks that they clearly state their name for the record and that they leave their name and address on the appropriate notification sheet located on the table next to the council chamber's entrance. Further, any person wishing to be advised of council's decision with respect to tonight's application is requested to also leave their name and address on the same sheet. In general, any application heard at tonight's meeting will be forwarded to the next meeting of council, granted that concerns or comments can be addressed in that time period. If not, an application may be forwarded to a later date. So as stated, the purpose of tonight's public meeting is to review an application for subdivision for a block of land known locally as Baker's Quarry on Martin Street North. The property is located within the urban boundary of Almont Ward and represents an area of approximately 1.89 acres. The purpose of the subdivision application is to subdivide the lands into 9 single detached dwelling lots with 1 higher density development block. I was supposed to be joined tonight by the county planner, who is our approval authority in this case. In the case of subdivision applications, the lower tier reviews them the same as we do a consent application, and then forward comments ratified by council through a resolution to the county where they make the final decision. Julie was unable to attend because of a family emergency, but her comments will be provided in writing as part of the staff report when recommendations come forward to Committee of the Whole. At this point, staff have thoroughly reviewed the application. We have also done a high-level review of the conformity of the application with the community official plan, and you'll note that in the agenda package there is a table that summarizes all of the applicable policies within the community official plan and articulates whether or not the plan is in conformity or not, whether or not more information is necessary, and whether or not there is a condition of approval related to determining whether or not the plan is in conformity. It's important to note that when you're reviewing the community official plan, a lot of the provisions within here apply to later stages of development. For example, here. For example, section 3.6.5 subsection 4 refers to the need to rezone a property and determine an appropriate density for medium density developments. That would be subject to a rezoning application to determine the appropriateness of the medium density, which is not something that we evaluate at the time of block configuration such as today, but rather it would come later after the fact, after draft approval is given. When we do approvals for subdivisions, we essentially give an agreement in principle to the configuration that's proposed, subject to conditions being met. If the applicant is not able to meet those conditions, then the draft approval would lapse and the subdivision could not be registered. However, this is a go forward so that the developer knows that in principle what they are proposing is generally in conformity with the vision for growth in town, and that provided certain principles can be met, that the project would move forward. At this point, I do want to go over a little bit of the public comments that we have received. We have circulated to all of our agencies in collaboration with the county. The county was responsible for half the circulation, and we circulated to internal agencies within our operations. We did receive comments from Public Works, who noted several alterations to the proposed servicing configuration that are necessary before any further review of this file can take place. So following the meeting tonight, this file will actually be put on hold until we receive revised servicing plans for the site. It will not come forward at the next meeting of CAO. In addition to that, we have reached out as well to the County Public Works Department, because this property does front on Martin Street, and we wanted to ensure that the county does not require any noise attenuation studies or traffic impact statements associated with the development, because most of the traffic will be accessing the site via Martin Street. So Mr. McCann has noted that no further studies are necessary, and that has been concurred upon by our Director of Public Works. In addition to that, we have received some general statements from residents related to affordable housing associated with this property, as well as some site-specific considerations pertaining to the location of certain services on the site now and their possible relocation in the future, as well as impacts associated with grading and drainage. And again, those things are parts of the plan that need to be reevaluated upon resubmission of servicing briefs. At this point, in general, we appear to have a plan that is consistent and conforms to the community official plan at a very high level. It also appears to conform to the provincial policy statement, and aspects related to conformity to things like zoning will be determined as a condition of approval.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to turn to the public at this point. Just a reminder that council will have an opportunity to ask their questions and discuss this when it comes back as a staff report. Councillor Jordan.
Yeah, I could actually, through the chair, to the planning director of planning. Sorry, can you tell me, is page number 36, is this actually for this location, or is that for the next program?
No, it appears that that schedule was placed in the document order out of order. This pertains to block 70.
So as I was saying, council will discuss this when it comes back as a staff report. The public meeting process is here for the public to make any comments they wish to have on record for this development, and I invite you to make your comments. I would ask that you speak once if there is any other comments you wish to make, to do so in writing. And with that, I do only have two on the list here. Mr. Scott Gaw?
I just want to be informed of this.
Perfect. Okay. Excellent. And we have your contact information. And I do have a representative from McIntosh and Perry who wishes to speak. Just before I get to you, if you don't mind, I'd like to finish with you. If there's anyone else who might have a comment that they would like to provide at this time, before we have the consultants speak, you can choose to speak afterwards if you like as well. Okay, I will turn it to you then if you like to take the podium.
I Okay, good evening, Mayor Lowry, members of council, staff, and members of the public. My name is Marco Cekic, and I'm a land use planner with McIntosh Perry. McIntosh Perry is the agent for Carr Street Properties, Inc. with respect to the Baker's Quarry plan of subdivision before you this evening. Okay, we'll just, and I'll try to make this very brief, start with some general context. So the lands subject to the Baker's Quarry plan of subdivision are legally ascribed as parts of lots 7 to 10 and all of lots 12 to 16, Malik section registered plan number 6262, and they'll be referred to as the subject lands moving forward. So the surrounding land uses the site, it's bounded by Martin Street North, residential and vacant lands to the north, Carr Street and residential lands to the east, Mitchinson and developed and vacant residential lands to the south, and an open road allowance known as often Lansdowne Street and open space to the west. So just sort of more about the subject lands themselves. They're 2.09 hectares in area with lots, proposed lots 1 to 7 and block 10 having frontage on Martin Street. Lots 8 and 9 are proposed to front on Mitchinson Street, and you'll see a more detailed plan to follow. The site's currently generally characterized by treed areas with small pockets of cleared land. So you see the draft plan at the bottom of the screen. So the proposal. So our client proposes to redevelop the site into a residential subdivision, including 9 lots for single detached residential dwellings, with lot sizes ranging from 0.23 acres to 0.47 acres, and frontages ranging from 2.29 meters to 26 meters. Block 10 with a medium density, is proposed for medium density use with an area of 1.89 acres and a frontage of 55.4 meters on Martin Street North. Based on pre-consultations and ongoing discussions with the County Public Works Department, we've received approval in principle for lots 1 through 6 to have shared entrances off of Martin Street North. Just to review some policy context and the 2014 provincial policy statement. So the proposal has been reviewed with regard to the policy objectives of the province, as well as those outlined in the county and town's official plan. The proposed subdivision is consistent with matters of provincial interest as expressed in the 2014 PPS for the following reasons. So the proposed subdivision is located within the urban settlement boundary. The proposed lots for single attached dwellings within development complement the existing housing styles in the neighborhood without resulting in the unjustified and or uneconomical expansion of infrastructure and public service facilities. The medium density residential block promotes increased residential density and helps minimize impacts from expansions outside of the urban settlement boundary and into the periphery. The proposed development will occur on full municipal sewer and water services and help to reduce groundwater resources, or sorry, and help ensure groundwater resources are not negatively impacted by the development. And residents of the proposed development will have easy access to the Ottawa Valley Rail Trail, which provides an excellent connection to the downtown core through active transportation. Just continuing the policy context review, we'll look at the County of Lanark Sustainable Communities official plan. The subject lands are designated settlement area in the county OP. And similarly, the proposed development conforms to and is consistent with the applicable policies of the county's OP for the following reasons. The county OP provides that 70% of future development is anticipated to take place in these designated settlement areas. The proposed development will contribute to a variety of dwelling types at different densities, and it promotes the allocation of infrastructure capacity for infill development. And the continuation of the policy context review with the official plan for the community. The proposed development embraces the smart growth concept as provided by the town's official plan and is located within the urban settlement boundary in the town of Valmont. The smart growth concept directs growth towards existing communities with the majority of development being located in fully serviced, compact, efficient urban communities with a broad mix of land uses. The proposed development will result in the infill and intensification of the subject lands and will enhance residential density with the introduction of medium density block. The official plan calls for lands designated as residential to have low and medium density uses. The proposed development provides 9 lots for low density residential uses and 1 block for, again, medium density residential. As per the goals and objectives of the town's official plan, the proposed development will be serviced by existing municipal wastewater services and will make use of existing infrastructure. It will have to be extended to serve the individual lots, but it's relatively there. And appropriate stormwater management techniques will be implemented. And a final review of the town zoning bylaw. So the subject lands are currently zoned residential first density, special provision 4. So currently single detached dwellings are permitted. So the proposed lots 1 through 9 will have single detached residential dwellings and meet the requirements for the R1 4 zone. Again, block 10 is proposed for medium density residential, and a zoning bylaw will need to be approved in the future once an exact development for that block has been determined. So we undertook a pre-consultation meeting in 2018 with the town and the county. The following reports and technical studies were requested in order to deem the application complete. So planning rationale, conceptual servicing and stormwater management report, and subsequently also entrance permits from the Public Works Department of the county. So the conceptual servicing and stormwater management brief was prepared by McIntosh Perry and determined that the residential lots and block will require new water sanitary service and utility communication services to the proposed buildings. Post-development peak flow rates will be restricted to pre-development flow rates, and the site is expected to achieve a normal level of quality control through the use of stormwater management swales and best management practices. We have since received comments from, as Nikki stated, from the town's Public Works Department as well as from the Conservation Authority. So we're working through those comments internally now, and we'll be reaching out to both the Conservation Authority and the town to discuss those comments. So in conclusion, the proposed subdivision is consistent with the provincial policy statement. The proposed subdivision conforms to the applicable policies, goals, and objectives of the town and county official plans. And the proposed lots are appropriately zoned for the proposed development, while Block 10 is anticipated to comply once the exact development is known and a zoning amendment application is approved. Thank you.
Great, thank you for your comments. Was there any second thoughts from the public on this? You wish to make a comment?
I wish to ask a question.
I probably won't answer your question, but if you want to ask the question, the planner may be able to get back to you on that.
I'm just not sure what medium density means.
Oh, right. No, it's not a bad question, but the clerk is whispering that she needs your name.
Oh, it's George.
And your last name? Perfect.
Hi. So medium density development is defined as 35 units per hectare within the urban boundary.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know, it seems complicated for a simple question, doesn't it? Any other questions or comments? All right. If seeing not, this closes our public meeting then for this evening. Thank you very much. And we will move to the Committee of the Whole report. So this is the Committee of the Whole items that were decided upon in our February 18th meeting. So we have a list of motions as well as 3 information list items. Are there any of these that anyone would wish to pull for separate discussion or vote? Councillor Holmes?
Yeah, I'd like to pull motion number CW052-20, Mill of Kintail.
Okay. Is there any other items that any member would like to pull? Okay, I'm going to suggest that we pull the Patterson Street parking restrictions, as there's a further decision on that to make. And I'm also going to suggest that we pull the library board chair letter that we received regarding the cost sharing. So there's three there that we will discuss individually. Councillor Girard.
I'm sorry, this is the 04-20, which is the Carlton Place Hospital Foundation donor wall. Is that on this one?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to pull that one as well.
You'd like that one pulled too?
Yeah.
Okay, so number one from the information list, number five from the information list, and the two motions, one regarding Patterson Street parking and the other regarding the Milliken Tail development. Anything else anyone would like to pull from the county, the committee of the whole report? Okay, seeing not, I'm looking for a mover and a seconder then to approve the list of motions. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Dalgety, any further discussion on any of these? Any final thoughts on any of those? Okay, seeing not, all those in favor? Thank you. And we can go to yours first, Councillor Holmes. So this is the support for the development of the independent model for the Mill of Cattail.
Yeah, so at the last meeting, I had asked about adding the National Capital Commission to a list of the potential stakeholders. We did talk with MVCA, and they acknowledged that they actually have the NCC listed. So I'd like to add that to the list of potential stakeholders that that money might be used for to contact.
Okay. I'm just trying to get to the actual wording. So if we just add another "and that" to this, and that council direct, how are we going to do that? And council direct, or do we want to just add it to the list there that's on there? If we just add it to the list, okay. Okay. So we'd be amending this then that it would be that council direct the mayor and staff to work with Mississippi Valley Conservation Authority, the Mill of Cattail Special Advisory Committee, the provincial government, and the NCC, and other private parties. Okay, so do you wish to move that amendment?
Yes, I wish to move that amendment. Thanks.
Is there a seconder to the amendment to include the NCC in this motion? Councillor Maiden, any discussion on the amendment? Do I have to do it separately? Do I need to do the amendment and then an amended motion? Or can I? Okay, so all those in favor of the amendment to include the NCC in the motion? Okay, so that carries. And then the motion as amended, do I need a separate mover and seconder for that again? Okay, so I need a mover and seconder for the amended motion then. Councillor Holmes and Councillor Girard, any discussion on the amended motion? All those in favor? Thank you. So that is the Mill of Cattail. The Carlton Place Hospital Foundation donor wall. Councillor Girard. Is there something you wish to?
Thank you. I would like us to look at the wording. If I remember correctly, on the letter that was provided to us, it actually said that they were going to put us down as the town of Mississippi Mills, and I would like it either to be towns of or the municipality of Mississippi Mills.
So that had been already corrected, hasn't it? Yeah, sure.
So I had the deadline to get back to the Carlton Place Hospital Foundation was the end of February, I believe, and I had already proactively asked them to correct it to municipality.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So do we need to pass anything on that then, or we could just leave that one then? Okay. So the direction was just to have staff send correspondence to the hospital. That's already happened, so I think we probably are okay to leave that one. If we go back to the Patterson Street parking restrictions, in the motion that we passed, we were to choose an option for public consultation. If we did not wish to have public consultation, that's an option. If we wish to receive written comments from the public through postings on the website, notification on social media, and at Orchard View was an option. Or alternatively, council could choose to direct staff to hold a public meeting. for the these are the parking spots in front of Orchard View. So the decision that we made did not reflect any of those options, so we need to include one of those options in our motion. So the decision would be to, do we have it up there? Yeah, so the staff directs, and the council directs staff with respect to public consultation. So that is not something that we had done at the committee the whole last time. So the decisions would be that we do not want consultation. We want a full public meeting for those couple spots, or we were looking to receive written comments by a certain date, and we would circulate that we are looking for those comments and can certainly collect comments at the Orchard View as well to make it easy for the residents there. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I don't think a public meeting's necessary. I think comment maybe by email or on the website and can be straightened. But I don't think a public meeting for that is necessary.
Okay. So do you wish to put that... is this an amendment as well? This is an amendment as well, right? Amendment to it. Do you wish to put that amendment forward that we would obtain written comments from the public through posting on the website, on social media, and notifications, paper notifications?
Very good.
All right. So there's a mover for the amendment. Is there a seconder for that amendment? Councillor Holmes, any discussion to the amendment of having written comments received on this item? Okay, all those in favor of the amendment? And now we need a mover and seconder for the amended motion. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Dalgety, any discussion on the amended motion? All those in favor? Thank you. So that's one, that's two. So now number five, I need to get back to my other list here. Number five from the information list. If you look on your page 58, the recommendation is that council receive the letter from the library board regarding the cost sharing agreement as information. I think that's a good thing to do, of course, to receive that information that the library board has provided us. I would suggest for your or provide for your consideration that because council has not had the opportunity to have the cost sharing agreement by Howard Allen explained to us, it's probably something that happens with every single council. Councillor Ferguson could probably speak to that, but we haven't, as a council, had that opportunity to have the have a training with Howard Allen on how that cost sharing agreement works. So I suggest perhaps that is something that one of you may wish to put forward as a direction. Thank you, Councillor Maiden. And the other that you may want to consider as well, because there is a lot of background, there's the agreement itself, there was an update to it several years ago, and as well as reports that went into a lot of detail that the previous council had looked at. And I wonder as well if council would like to direct staff to provide a summary of those reports as well as the reports themselves, just so that can be information that council's available to see. I don't imagine that Howard's going to be available to come and speak to us right away, being that it's tax season. So we'll have a little time to look at those pieces of information. So my suggestion is that we do receive the letter from the board, but also direct staff to provide a summary as well as the reports and the agreements, and that we invite Mr. Howard Allen to come and present that information to us. And I think it would be a wise idea to include the library board in those opportunities if they wish to come and get that information as well. So I offer that to you. Councillor Maiden?
I'm sorry, I missed the last meeting, but I think council and staff need to review that agreement, I think, before the next budget year. Because I went to the cost-sharing meeting that we had at the beginning in Carlton Place. I'm not sure. I think Councillor Dalgety went as well. And there were some things that were kind of concerning to me, and I'm thinking that this arrangement might be a little bit out of date, and I know that was the concern of the library board as well. So I think we need to not just have the presentation and have staff do a report, but also as council look into it within the next year before we renew the agreement again.
Mm-hmm. So just a point of information, and be happy to have a conversation, and I think we'll probably end up having quite a lot of conversation about it. The agreement, there's not an end date on the agreement, so it's not something that is renewed and all three parties sign every year, so there's not a mechanism to renew it, and it is a three-party agreement, so we can decide to have a conversation, but we have to have our other partners also willing to have that conversation. So that's something to bear in mind.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that concerned me at the meeting that we did have with the Carlton Place was I had asked, well, do they have a similar agreement with Carlton with the City of Ottawa to help fund their libraries, because they have quite a large number of residents from the City of Ottawa using their library. And the City of Ottawa just refuses to provide any funding for them. Considerations was with Mississippi Mills supporting two libraries as it is and having reciprocal borrowing agreements with other communities at no exchange of money kind of thing. That's also a consideration. So those were the considerations. I'm hoping I'm through the chair representing the library board's concerns about it, you know, accurately. Yeah, and we're concerned about it. I think we need to look at it.
Mm-hmm. And it, as I had mentioned, it's a historical agreement as well. There's historic basis in there that, of course, all of council needs to make sure that they understand. And that's why I suggest that perhaps getting that background information and then having that opportunity with Mr. Howard Allen, and we can have the library board there too, so that everyone is working from the same information. And because it's easy to compare to one community and another, understanding where that's coming from and where our decisions have historically been in terms of trying to provide service to South Ramsey. Anyway, we can't chew on it today because we don't all have the information. But if you're in agreeance, I would suggest, did you catch the...
Okay.
Yeah?
Is that right?
Do you want to read it? I can't see it with the light.
I have that you're receiving it as information and that council directs staff to bring forward a summary including a historical background of the cost-sharing agreement, and that council invite Howard Allen to come and present regarding the cost-sharing agreement.
And I think then that we would include the library board in that.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's probably important. Did you have a comment, Councillor Jord?
I was actually going to direct you that Councillor Ferguson has been desperately trying to get a hold of you.
Thank you for your concern. Councillor Ferguson.
I'll certainly move that motion, that's for sure. I think it's important that we have this discussion.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that we're both growing communities very fast. Mm-hmm. Things have changed significantly, and I think it's an opportune time. And also to have to bear in mind that this is a three-point deal. Mm-hmm. The fact that it does address recreation, it does address the use of the pool, and it does address the library, as we've had the discussion. So I think it's mm-hmm. important that we have this yeah. discussion.
So you're moving the...
I
guess it's the motion now, yeah? Is there a seconder for the... That I think Councillor Maiden, you had your hand up. Okay. Any other discussion or questions, Deputy Mayor?
When we get the information, could it be sent ahead of time to the library board so they can understand it before we have a meeting?
Yeah, I think we have that reflected there, that the information will be shared with the library board as well.
There's a lot of history there, and it's quite complicated.
Yeah, it is a complicated agreement. And actually, before we vote on this, I can't see you, Christine, but was there anything that, so Christine Rao is our chief librarian. Is there anything that you would like to, anything you'd like to add or comment on?
Just speaking on behalf of Kathy Peacock, the chair, she was thankful that council, you know, considered the concerns, and really is also welcoming the chance to be part of all of the information sharing sessions.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Excellent. Any last comments or questions? If not, all those in favor? Thank you. So that's all of our motions from the Committee of the Whole. We have three bylaws. Actually, hold on, I missed one. Sorry. We also have a letter of support. So this is to support a CRTC application that Storm Internet is putting in the next week or so, actually. Just to give a little context, I think most of council is probably aware of the pilot that Storm Internet, Mississippi Mills and Lanark County has been working on to bring internet in from Union Hall up into Clayton. They are continuing to work on that. I got an update just this in the last couple of days. They're continuing to work on that. It is slow going. And the application that they are putting in is for another 200 homes to continue along in the village and around the lake. So it'll be partly Mississippi Mills and partly the Highlands. But that is what this letter of support would be. We've provided them for, I'm trying to think, a couple other Cogeco. Yeah, we did a Cogeco letter of support. We can support all of the internet providers. There's no problem to support more than one. So that's where this recommendation is coming from, a request that we support them in their application. Is there a mover and seconder for the recommendation to support the Storm's CRTC application? Councillor Maiden, Councillor Holmes, any discussion? All those in favor? Thank you. And now we go to bylaws. So we have three bylaws: waste management levy, water and sewer service rates, and part lot control. This is on Ann Street. Would anyone wish to have any of these bylaws considered separately? If not, I'm looking for a mover and seconder to approve these three bylaws. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Councillor Ferguson, all those in favor? Thank you. Any announcements or invitations? Councillor Ferguson.
I'd like to announce that St. Patrick's coming to Pakenham on the 17th of March, and you're all welcome to the dance. And I will be absent from that meeting. I have a doctor's appointment at the Douglas Hotel.
Well, I thank you, Councillor. Any other announcements or invitations? Councillor Maiden.
This Saturday, Councillor Dalgetty and I will be at the small meeting room at the Elmont Library. And invite any of the public to come and ask questions and make comments.
Excellent. Any further announcements or invitations? All right, seeing not, I'm looking for a mover and seconder for the confirmatory bylaw, which confirms proceedings of this evening. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Councillor Dalgetty, all those in favor? Thank you. And a mover and seconder for adjournment. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Maiden, all those in favor? Thank you. We're adjourned. And if you hold on, we have a second act coming up. Do you want to take a few minutes? Then we're going to take 5 minutes.